check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, September 23rd, 2021, the Beating the Book podcast, Megapod, live from the D, our home for the Megapod. Not Circa, not that place, the D. We like the space.
We're old school here.
We are old school. I like the D. That is the voice, by the way, of our guest this week, Wes Reynolds. For those on the Megapod feed who listen to this show for years and years, Wes has never been on here before, which is clearly an oversight on my part. Wes is the co-host of Long Shots, the greatest golf betting show there ever was, with Brady Cannon and Matt Eumanns at VSiN. But Wes is far more than just the co-host of Long Shots. Wes Reynolds can co-host any show about any subject. We're just talking about F1 off air. Wes is like, yeah, I know about that too.
Knows about everything.
Knows about everything. Pop culture?
Everything. Pop culture, wrestling.
Yes.
UFC, boxing, everything. Wes Reynolds.
Quick.
You think we're going to have a big crowd here for this UFC this weekend, Wes? You think the...
I think so. I watched the fights, I think it was McGregor and Poirier, mm-hmm. in the warehouse up at Circa on the third floor. By the way, great place to go watch the fights if you're not in the arena at T-Mobile. Arguably one of the best places in town. Had a great time up there.
Wes, thank you for doing this for the first time. It's an honor that you're here. And what's your favorite Air Supply song, just to prove a point?
Okay, the one that you love.
Wes,
go ahead, Todd. I'm sorry.
How do you feel about Rapenzia Timișoara scoring in the second half at home against Dinamo Bucharest in the Romanian Cup?
Of course, he asked the question that would trip me up because I am not following that. Let's go back to Air Supply. It's a dead heat between even the nights are better. I got to include that one.
Did you hear Paul Howard's take this morning that Green Day is the second most overrated band of all time?
Who's the first most?
U2.
Oh, interesting.
There's a lot of people that have that take.
I don't know that I disagree.
Mm. Yeah.
By the way, the other voice is, of course, Todd Wishdev from his mom's Cork Attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on the big screen. And Mike Palm, ladies and gentlemen, the vice president of operations
at Circus Sports. Can you guys see? I've got Rapenzia against Dinamo in my FanDuel little tablet here.
You betting team totals?
Yes, I've got Rapenzia under half, and I'm pre-rolling now because I'm on both sides.
Todd's betting soccer. I'm betting tennis currently. And we're going to do the Megapod. And as always, we start, Mike, with the Circa Millions and Circa Survivor update. What do you
have? Yeah, the Millions, we have 12 people 10-0 after 2 weeks, one person 0-10. So it's out of 4,100 entries, only 12 are 10-0.
That's not a lot.
And only one is 0-10. So that's
and millions more people didn't put in their entry. Well, in both
31.
31 didn't put their entry in.
In the millions, which disqualifies them from the quarterly and overall booby prize. They could still win other quarters.
And Circa?
Circa Survivor?
Circa Survivor, rather, yeah.
15. The non-entry was knocked out the third most people this week. First was the Steelers, then was Seattle. The third most came from the non-entry.
That's awesome.
How does it go up from week one? Week one should be the most that didn't get in because people die, people are in jail.
People
there's a four-month sign-up. Well, people do die.
People do go to jail.
People are passed out on Fremont Street on Saturday night.
Anything can happen.
Yes.
Anything can happen. Okay. Well, so by the way, I'm struggling with Survivor this week because I don't know whether to go with Carolina tonight or Denver on Sunday. We'll get to Survivor here.
Todd, did you advance last week?
Yes, I advanced with the Denver Broncos over the Jacksonville Jaguars.
You still have both entries left. You have two?
No, I only have one. I only went into one Survivor and 1 Millions.
Oh, okay.
I am currently 6-4 in Millions after I had a smooth 4-1.
Who did you use week one in Survivor?
I used the L.A. Rams.
All right, so Rams and Broncos off of Todd's list.
Bucks and Packers for me.
Bucks and Packers off. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Todd, I hate to ask this question because I got whitewashed last week. But what are as the pod stenographer, what were our records last week on this show?
Yes, as the pod stenographer, last week was a rough week for young Gilly Ice going 0-3.
Gilly Ice.
He moves himself to 1-5, although he did get very lucky with his teaser.
Oh, stop.
Going to 2-0 in teasers. He had New England and the Bengals got a Justin Fields gift.
Thank you, Justin
for the
Fields.
Long saving.
Yeah.
And so he goes to 2-0 in teasers. Mikey, was 1-2.
There you go.
To move to 3-3, and he lost his teaser by going with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who cannot block anyone, and therefore the Raiders knocked out his teaser. He's now 1-1 in teasers, and I had a stellar 2-1 to go to 4-2. Also winning my teaser easily, Broncos and Pats with my teaser to go to 2-0 on teaser.
I could tell you were super excited to go through this. How did our week two guest, Drew Dinsick, do?
Our week two guest, Drew Dinsick, had the Steelers -6 losing, the Colts +3.5 somehow covering, and the Vikings +3.5 also covering. He also got very lucky with the Bengals Packers teaser.
I love how you, when other people are involved, you're like somehow and got lucky. But with you, it's just easy peasy, right?
Todd, you're 4-2. You're 4-2 now.
I'm 4-2.
I'm 3-2.
Sometimes
I'm 3-3. And Gil is.
And Gil's 1-5.
Is that good?
Well, my question is this the latest into the year you've had the lead in the contest, Todd?
Oh, very funny, Mike. I crushed you in teasers both years.
I'm not worried about teasers. I'm talking about the best bets.
It's the latest. It's like the Detroit Tigers, the latest they've been in first place since 84.
Okay, keep going, Mikey. We'll see what happens.
And also, we have an additional member of the show, if you're watching on video here, Mike Palm cutout, which the real – awesome thing, Mike. You know you're going to hate me for doing this.
The back.
But how is it that they gave you the back of this, too, with the you didn't really like what was going on up there?
No, they could have painted that. Like, I mean, it doesn't have to be that lifelike.
They could have. Well, none of us are getting younger. I know what you mean. You look great here, Mikey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wes and I are going to be on both sides of you here. All right. So what do we do first? Thursday night football. We don't have to have a pick here. I'm just curious if there are any thoughts about this. I have Carolina in multiple teasers with Arizona, with Cleveland. I even have one wacky one where I have them with like four other teams for +350. But yet I'm terrified about taking them in Survivor, even though I have them in teaser legs, which makes no sense. But Survivor tends to do weird things to your brain. Wes, I'm curious if you have any takes. I know I talked to you about this morning on a numbers game. What is your take on Thursday?
Yeah, this would be a teaser-only game for me on Carolina because, look, you can get it through the 3 and the 7, so Carolina down to 2, or if it's 7.5, you can get it down to 1.5. And that'd be the only way I would go here. I would be careful laying the points in this spot, and I agree with your caution on the Survivor because, look, you have a Carolina team, and when you're a young team like them, and I took them over season wins. I do like this team. I like Matt Rhule. I like Joe Brady. I like this defense. They've been drafting guys in the first round pretty much each of the last 4 years, and those guys are finally starting to play and produce and come together. This defense is absolutely for real. But what worries me on Carolina is you have a team that's not used to this spot.
Yeah.
You have a team that's not used to winning, and they're not used to success, and you're asking them to lay over a touchdown on the road. I know it's Davis Mills. I know he was 8 of 18 last week with a touchdown and an interception in the second half against Cleveland. But you do at least give him a couple days of practice with the number ones, which he essentially did not have for the Cleveland game last week after when Taylor got knocked out. But I'd be a little careful laying this spot with Carolina. I think just on the math, you probably have to use them in a teaser, but this isn't something I'm willing to like go balls to the wall with, so to speak.
Does anybody differ with that? I think that I feel exactly like that about this game.
Last week I said you should use the football team in Survivor.
No, never in doubt.
Clear winner, wire to wire. And I think you must consider using the Panthers tonight as well.
I think you have to consider it.
Because you cannot use Cardinals. You cannot use Arizona. No. You must save them for Christmas, I think, against the Colts.
I can't use the Ravens.
Well, see, Detroit scares me.
You know, Detroit has an offensive line. They can block you.
For me, it's Carolina. We'll get to Survivor. But for me, it's Carolina versus Denver. No. That's my choice.
I don't
know.
Where else would you use Denver?
Denver would get my vote now because they're in a very tough division.
If you, Wes, let's just say you had four entries left. Mm-hmm. Would you split them between Carolina and Denver this week?
I would maybe lean a little bit more toward the Denver
side. So maybe 3-1?
Yeah, that's what I might do because I think with Denver, you got to understand, they're going to have a tougher schedule.
Yeah.
And they're going to have 2 games at Kansas City. They're going to have 2 games at the Chargers. They're going to have 2 games with the Raiders. And the non-conference, it gets a little tougher. And even though I kind of like the Jets and the points, I would still probably use the Broncos here.
We might as well flesh out the Survivor talk. As I look at the schedule, Carolina and Denver, the only other time you can justify using either happens to be the same week also. So it's kind of like, And by the way, it's really late in the season also. And I'm trying to expunge last year from my brain. Where, like, normal survivors usually only get to, like, week 10, 11, 12. So who knows if that'll even come into play. And, Todd, I think you can holler if you hear me on this, but Zhang Saisai has just broken Glatch. So that's a big thing for me that just happened in tennis. You know your girl, Saisai.
That's your girl. The girl who plays like me.
Yeah.
Yes.
She plays just like you, Todd. Got those drop shots.
I taught her to do trick slices and angles and everything.
Yeah. And she can't handle the moon ball either?
Oh, trust me, I can handle the moon.
The moon ball is tough strategy.
Anytime you want to come out, Mikey, I don't even know if you could get 3 points on me in a game in a set of six.
Okay, here we go. Here we go.
You're brutal.
All right, let's do best. No, we did Thursday Night Thoughts. Any other Thursday Night Thoughts, Todd? Do you have any?
I just wanted to Thursday Night Thought a little bit on the under, maybe, because I think the Carolina Panthers, under Matt Rule or Roulet or whatever he likes his name to be pronounced, I like what they're doing defensively. They were pretty good the first week against the Jets. They were outstanding against the Saints. I mean, if you look at the drive charts for the Saints' only touchdown came on a gift interception, a 20-yard drive. Other than that, it was three and out, five and out, three and out, four and out, three and out. It was nonstop, just totally domination of Jameis Winston on the defensive end of the ball. So if they can do the same thing against Mills, Stanford guy, why not? And then, I don't see their offense under Darnold being a, high flying offense. So, you could get there 24-10, 27-10, something like that.
What do you think, Wes, is the effect of the Texans not having the safety Reed is out, and then also the linebacker, I never say this name right, with the Grugier Hill?
Yeah.
I think they're both out tonight.
Yeah.
So that's why I would lean to use Carolina.
You would.
I would. In the Survivor. Or in Teaser. And Teasing
Down.
One
thing about these, go ahead, Todd.
Obscure guys. Do you know their backups? You don't know whether their backups are that much worse than they are. Now, granted, at the quarterback position you do, but in the linebacker position, this is what I can't stand when talking heads like people who run the Nuts show or something get on there and start talking about the backup linebacker, the linebacker's out and the safety's out. Well, how do you know the backup? If you actually do know that the backup linebacker is terrible and the backup safety is terrible, then by all means. But do you actually know that, Mr. Nuts?
I don't know it. I don't know it, Todd. Todd, another question here. Is Matt Rule your leader in the clubhouse for Coach of the Year after 2 weeks?
That's a good one.
It's not Sean Payton anymore.
Nope. No, not at all.
It's not him. All right, let's do some best bets. Wes, as the guest, your honor with your first one, sir.
Okay, first best bet. We're going to go with the team that scored no points last week.
Oh.
To make that a best bet. Let's just put it out there right now. I am going to go, and it's four basically mainly in the market. There's some four and a halves out there, too, because Derek Carr got ruled probable. I'm going to go with the Miami Dolphins against the Las Vegas Raiders. They did beat them late in the year last year, so I know a payback spot for the Raiders because that's what eliminated them from the playoffs. Remember, they got that personal foul that continued that Miami drive, just like as the Raiders are wont to do, get a personal foul in a key situation. But
that was the Fitzmagic game.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Yeah, where Brian Flores basically subbed him in and out. But it is going to be Jacoby Brissett here. But I think the market's kind of telling you they don't think that there's much of a drop-off, really, between Tua and Jacoby Brissett. But if you look at the look-ahead line on this game, I think it was mainly not with the Miami adjustment. I think it was the Raiders adjustment because they went in and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a total dead spot off a short week, expending all that energy into your home opener, your first game in a new town with fans in the stands. And I think the look ahead was like a pick 'em. And now it's adjusted up to four. I think that that's a big move. I think the Raiders maybe now kind of feeling themselves a little bit. I think defensively, they've still got some issues, especially in the secondary. I think that front four has done a very good job getting pressure on Lamar Jackson in the opener and then Big Ben in the last game. But I like the Dolphins here getting four. There are some four and a halves out there as well.
I like it. What
plus,
do you got?
By the way, teams that have lost by more than 30 in the NFL are like over 60% against the spread the following week, which is a nice little.
And that makes sense, right? Because it's a recency bias. The market overreacts. And by the way, if you watch that game, I'm not saying Miami would have won, but 35-0 was about one of the more misleading scores of that week.
Yes.
And for those of us who
the only thing is, aren't you guys a little concerned with the fact that Miami doesn't look like they can block no matter who's playing quarterback? Like the first half of that game, every play was like they're getting sacked. It was ridiculous, regardless of who was the quarterback. So I love the pick too, but I'm so scared of how badly they block.
Yeah.
Well, half the offensive lines in the league can't block. I mean, I go back to what I think it was Bill Polian a few years ago said about the offensive line play. It's an epidemic. And I think he's absolutely right. Now, he was kind of speaking in the tone of, oh, this damn collective bargaining agreement, because he's always management. So, of course, he's going to take the stand against labor. It's like they don't hit in pads enough. And I think he's right. But I also think you got to look at the college offenses. That's a different skill set than what they do in the NFL. It's, you know, college, the name of the game is run as many plays as you can, as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Get a guy open in space, and that's it. And just go tempo, tempo, tempo. In the NFL, the reads are totally different. The protections are totally different. So I think you have a lot of – we were talking about so many teams in the summer, like that they have bad offensive lines. The Bears got a bad offensive line. All these teams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Steelers, bad offensive line. Even teams that you thought would have had good offensive lines, like the Indianapolis Colts, have been absolutely terrible. Carson Wentz has been sacked 6 times in 2 weeks. So the offensive line, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you know, about half to maybe two-thirds of the team in the league aren't set on that O-line.
Aren't you concerned about the performance of Brissett last week, though? He looked so...
See, I think he's good.
Yeah, but he couldn't even move. He couldn't even move around. It was like a 5-step drop and just try to spray the ball 8 yards here. I mean, that was their whole offense
once he hadn't practiced. I mean, you have to give him that sort of
sensation. And you go game plan specific, too, because it's going to be probably different how they attack the Raiders than they're going to attack the Bills. But you're right. He did not look great. But they are getting Will Fuller back, it looks like, so he's getting at least some help on that side.
I think the two –
the Raiders' defense stinks, too.
The two biggest points from last year – well, not the two biggest points. One of them was, you know – again, with the NFL, more than any other sport, we tend to always be results-based, and we're like, oh, look, yeah, the Dolphins got smoked.
Right.
Yeah, well, their starting quarterback got knocked out 4 minutes into the game. Can I prove to you that it would have gone otherwise? I can't, but, you know, that's a thing. T.J. Watt got knocked out after the first quarter in the Steelers game. Would that game have been different? I will sit here and tell you it would have been. Mm-hmm. I can't prove it to you, but I think it would have been. The other biggest thing is the last injury reports from last week. So on Primetime Action, which I do with Matt Brown and Kelly Billen on MSG Plus at VSiN, we take such pride in like, okay, these are the final injury reports. This team is decimated. This team is decimated. This team. Every one of those teams that got the worst of the injury report last week in the final one. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about the Ravens and the Vikings and the Niners. I'm forgetting some, right? That just got destroyed. All of those teams ended up covering. So I feel like last week was this weird aberration where if you did the prudent thing and waited for the final injury report, it almost screwed you. Whereas if you made your picks earlier, you were better off. And I don't think that's a normal thing. I think that's just an aberrational thing. But that to me was the biggest betting point of last week, that if you played against teams that were decimated, and maybe this plays into your point to some degree, Todd, where it's like we just assume that if certain players are knocked out, it doesn't necessarily mean it's the drop-off that we think it is. Maybe.
Well, that's the thing. If you have, like, cluster injuries on the offensive line, that can be a thing.
Yeah.
But if you've got, oh, my safety's out and my this guy's out and da-da-da, but we don't know is the second team guy good? Is he not good? I think sometimes it's overblown, and I was just taking a shot at Mikey because I like to take shots at Mikey because he takes shots at me. But the point is, I think people sometimes get a little too overblown with that. Now, the quarterback position is an entirely different thing because your quarterback is a giant thing. But these injury things, I think you have to take them with a grain of salt. You really have to be careful.
First of all, Todd, I asked Wes his opinion about the injuries affecting them. I didn't purport to know anything about it. I asked the guy that has a deeper knowledge of this than I do.
Mikey, I wasn't really attacking you. I was attacking people like you. You know, people who have shows like
Called People That Have Mediocre Shows.
What's the new name of the show? It's not the Nuts Anymore?
Odds On.
Odds On, everybody. Odds On. Yeah, I'm not going to get used to that.
We have two guests today in an hour show.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh.
Kadri Ismail.
Oh.
The Missile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Professor John Clayton also.
Professor John Clayton. Okay. All right, we got to move. All right, Mikey, your first best bet.
My first best bet is the 49ers -3. on Sunday night.
Wait a second. Wait,
No. I'm not laying 3.5, Todd. Don't start that bullshit.
They are, They are three.
Okay. I'm laying 3 points.
Okay.
Listen, you just cannot underestimate how bad Matt Rhule is in Sunshine States. I mean, this guy is an absolute disaster. The average scores of the five games he's played in Florida and in California is 21-3 at halftime. He's been blanked in 4 of the 5 games. Whatever it is, they are never ready to go to California. Remember, they went and got
Matt
absolute.
Rules, Matt Rhule.
I'm talking about LaFleur.
LaFleur.
Sorry.
We were all thrown off.
LaFleur. I mean, that game against the Chargers where the Chargers like outgained them 5-1, and then they. And then they got beat in the NFC Championship game.
So you think the Sun does something?
I don't know what it is, but this buffoon is just terrible when he goes to the side. I mean, why did he call the timeout and let him have a practice kick at Lambeau? This guy, I don't understand it. I mean, his record is unbelievable, but in every big spot, he doesn't perform. I mean, and they'll beat up on the teams in the Central this year, but I don't think they're going to beat up on the good teams.
I am thrilled to have them in my rear view in Survivor, having used them already. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
All right, I laid the 3. Let's move on.
All right, Green Bay -3. Toddy, what do you got first?
My first pick is going to be your Cleveland Brownies. The Cleveland Browns -7 against your Bears. Now, I don't care who's playing quarterback for the Bears because the Bears stink. And, you know, don't let your don't get confused by the fact that the Bears won a game finally. They won the game because Cincinnati threw 14 interceptions inside their 20-yard line to give them all the points. The Bears were not marching the ball up and down the field against the Cincinnati defense that – I don't know. Are they average? Are they above average? Are they below average? They're definitely in the middle somewhere, right? Or somewhere maybe even below average. I didn't see anything. I went back and watched the shortcuts on DirecTV, you know, where you get to watch the whole game in 30 minutes. And the Bears didn't do anything offensively. It's basically Burrow threw them a couple interceptions and they had short fields and got touchdowns. So I didn't see anything there from the Bears offensively that makes me think that they can handle the high-powered offense of the Browns. I don't like laying 7 points in the NFL, but the Browns are a team that can score. They've proven they can score the ball. First of all, does anybody run the football like the Browns in the NFL?
No.
I mean, these guys are running through massive... Massive. I think I could run for 150 yards behind the Browns line.
Maybe
I know
not.
Most of these lines. Okay, maybe 125. But the point is, these guys, they have massive holes to run through. Chubb and the other guy, Hunt and everybody. They just run. And Baker's not bad offensively. I just think the Browns can blow the Bears out. I don't believe in this Bears offense at all. Give me the Browns -7.
You got them. Yeah. By the way, have you guys seen the Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, ESPN2
yes.
Monday night.
Yeah,
you have to have two TVs, though, because their feed is so far behind. And if you're betting live, you can't wait for that feed. Oh, it's like 15 seconds behind the regular feed.
So I'm on air when it's on, mm-hmm. so I don't on air. I say, hey, you got to watch this Peyton Eli thing because obviously I don't want people going elsewhere. But I recorded it and watched the first quarter of it just yesterday.
That's good without guests.
It's the greatest TV show I've ever seen in my life.
They need to cut out the guests. They don't need a guest.
Yeah,
just let the two of them talk.
Well, they can have – they need to get the right guest, because I thought McAfee in the fourth
He was
quarter,
good on the end.
He saved the day because, look, Patrick Willis, great player for the 49ers. Yeah. He was not very good. Gronk had the one good line, oh, I don't watch film, I just run by dudes. But Gronk is an amiable dunce, okay? He's not going to give you any insight. So you got to get the right guest. Like Barkley on the Raiders broadcast – it was Raiders-Ravens week 1, was very entertaining. But people obviously want to hear Peyton and Eli. I mean, Peyton has just such a great mind, especially Peyton, for the game. And he can break down. He's like, okay, when they're running these, when they run these two underneath safeties, run the ball,
yes.
run the ball. And that's what we always did. And I remember back as a Colts fan, I'm like, he would always audible to that whenever he would run, whenever they would show that look. So he gives you such interesting things. He gives you anecdotes. He gives you good stories. And
you learn more about football watching those two guys than you could ever learn anywhere else.
Peyton Manning is the greatest public speaker we have alive today.
That was his major at the University of Tennessee.
That Hall of Fame speech?
Yes.
I mean, it hit every note. It was
and they incredible. And they gave one of the greatest of all time 9 minutes, by the way, to do a Hall of Fame speech. I'm like, he can get the hour treatment. He's Peyton freaking Manning, you know, but they had two classes that weekend. And I kind of – it's like, how do you encapsulate that career in 9 minutes?
Oh, you can't. But can I just give Eli a shout-out and we'll move on
here
because Mikey's got a timeline. But Eli had a really great sense also of television and of the people watching and listening because Peyton would sometimes drift And Eli would be like, well, for the fans, let them know why you said what you said. Like, they're perfect, the two of them. They're
He's
perfect
like you.
Together.
He's like you. Eli's more like you.
Very sweet. I want to hug you.
Gil, I have to tell you, your show is the most easy listening show on the network.
Thank you.
I can listen to it every day.
That's very nice of you.
Because there's just
I
such
prefer
a there's
the nuts.
No. The flow of it is it's so good with Gil because he's a professional radio person. You know what I mean? And he's just, you know, I don't love every guest, but I can listen to the show every day.
Who don't you love? Know? Who don't you
it's
love?
It's okay.
He's not going to say.
I said every
He's like that Reynolds guy. Freaking terrible.
No, I don't have to listen to long shots. I can just listen to Wes for 10 minutes on Thursday mornings and get my golf picks.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say, Mikey. Thank you very much. Same to you, by the way.
How about, did you give your pick yet?
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. But enough about me. What do you think about me? No. Here we go. So mine is, what is Arizona on the road against Jacksonville?
Oh,
I can make this quick.
Arizona on the road against Jacksonville. I have about 7.5.
Okay. When I did Guessing Lines with Chrissy on Monday, and for those who are listening to this a lot, listen to Guessing Lines as well on this podcast feed, that was the one that I was the most incredulous about. There were two, and I'll get to the next one next. But I guessed 10.5. And Chrissy said, no, it's 7.5. Now, you don't have to believe in my 10.5, but you get the idea. I have no idea why this is only 7.5. Last week, Trevor Lawrence for the Jacksonville Jaguars against the Broncos, 14 of 33 for 118, one touchdown, two picks. He was sacked once, 189 total yards of offense. That score was cosmetically closer because of the kickoff return for a touchdown. They were out time of possession, 38-52 to 21-08. Urban Meyer is already issuing social media, you know, sort of
hang in with us.
Hang in with
yes.
us comments, right? Hang in with us. We're going to get better. It's right out of his, you know, the PR playbook. It's way too early to be doing that. I think they're going to be a disaster. And I am in love with Arizona. I fell in love with I think Arizona's going places this year. So that's not enough points. I'm taking Arizona minus the 7.5.
There's two things here, and I'm going to use that as my second pick.
Okay.
So we don't have to
let's
go
do
on
it.
That. Do you know that they haven't run a play in the red zone yet this year, Jacksonville?
Yeah.
They haven't had a snap in the red zone yet. Trevor Lawrence has the second worst yards per attempt in the league at 5.4, behind only Andy Dalton. And Trevor Lawrence, this new statistic, I love it, uncatchable passes.
Oh, I read this.
He's by far number one,
36%
are uncatchable.
Think about that. 36% of his passes cannot be caught. So of the remaining 64, then you have a defender actually defending it, right? So it's
and at midfield after the game, Urban Meyer tells Vic Fangio it's like playing Alabama every week in this league.
Oh, did he really
That's what
say
he said.
That?
Yeah, Fangio said that. He said that.
I
Urban says
that.
It's like playing Alabama every week.
Wow. Yeesh.
It is actually like playing Alabama every week because you got all the
Wes, normally we would go to you here for the second pick. That, by the way, is Mikey's second pick to Arizona. But Todd complained that we need to snake it this year, so
okay.
we have to go to Todd at number two. What's number two, Toddy?
Well, because, Wes, what happened was everybody would get to pick first. I have to pick last every time, and then, you know, it just wasn't fair. So
Todd would complain about being last on The Price is Right, too. I mean, what disadvantage did he have by going last?
That's right. What was their bids again, Bob?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I wanted to pick the Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins for the same reasons that Wes said, but mostly because they were down 35-0. But I'm not taking them because they can't block worse shit. So I'm going to go with a different pick instead.
Wes's face is priceless. He's like, I can't believe I came to this.
I am bemused.
Wes, if I don't do the Miami Dolphins song, they get upset. Anyways, here's the deal. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers against the San Francisco 49ers under the 50 points. Under 50 in the Green Bay-San Francisco game. And the reason is I see San Francisco as I think the coach there knows that he doesn't want Jimmy to get a little out over his skis. Let's run the football. Let's play good defense. Let's grind. And Green Bay has a tendency to have these really long drives. So I think this is going to be a grinder type game. And I think 49ers are going to be mostly an under team, sort of like what we saw against the Eagles last week. And therefore, I think 50 is kind of high in a game where you're likely to see a lot of running by San Francisco and a lot of defense by San Francisco. And therefore, I'm going to go under the 50. I don't think that the Packers are going to score a bunch of points. I know the Packers scored a bunch of points against the Lions, but it's the Lions, and they were at home. The first week against the Saints, did the Packers look like world beaters? I don't think so. So I don't see the Packers scoring a ton here. And the Niners is the kind of offense where I think he doesn't want Garoppolo to beat him. And so he's going to run the ball. He's going to do controlled passing. They have these long drives. Give me under 50.
Wesley.
If Todd is going to do the Miami Dolphins song, maybe I'll save it if I get a return appearance here where I can do the San Diego Superchargers song.
Oh, that's our buddy E's favorite thing in the world.
By the way, Gil was dying for that song. So if you can sing it right, it's a very hard song to sing. If you could sing it, you should try it right now.
That was the greatest lie our parents ever told us, was that disco is bad. Disco is amazing. What are you talking about?
I love it.
San Diego Superchargers.
Disco
I miss
is
that.
Amazing.
I miss that song. Of course, the Spanos is...
That was more funky than disco.
Yeah, it was kind of a hybrid. Yeah. It was like a little bit of a funkadelic or like an Earth, Wind, and Fire type
Earth,
of vibe. By the way, happy Earth, Wind, and Fire Day, 21st night
That's
of September.
Right. That's
just
right.
A couple nights ago. But anyway, getting to the second pick here and kind of looking over, and I'm going to also go with one that Todd is on, and I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns -7. Now, in full disclosure, there is 6.5 in some faraway places. And I think it tells you that the market really, really values Justin Fields, because what was this on the look ahead? It was 9.5, and then Dalton gets hurt. Fields finishes the game. It comes out at 7.5 on Sunday night. Now it's confirmed that Fields is going to be the starter. It goes down to 7, and you're even starting to see 6.5 in the market. And I think this is kind of a buy-low spot on Cleveland. They're also getting one Odell Beckham Jr. back in the lineup. I think that is going to help. Now, in full disclosure, they did lose Jarvis Landry as well. So, you know, you lose one and you gain one here. But I think Justin Fields on the road here, you kind of saw in that Cincinnati game. And it was a close game in the stats, but on the scoreboard, like, the Bears were dominating the game. It was 20-3 because that was one of my contest entries in the Circa Million, and also I bet it at a worse number. And the Bears were, like, dominating the game, even though they weren't doing much offensively. Well, Justin Fields, it gets to be 20-10. He throws an interception deep in his own territory. Joe Burrow has that one-play drive. And then it's 20-17. Now Fields made the play to run on third down that essentially ended the game. But that's what you're going to get with Justin Fields. You're going to get a guy that's going to give you those wow moments. And then you're going to get those WTF moments where it's like, okay, now the first read's not there. He's got to make a second, third, and fourth read. And he's going to struggle doing that. And to Todd's point, what he talked about offensive line play and what we were mentioning earlier, Chicago Bears not exactly set on the offensive line. Now Fields can at least give you a chance to make plays with his legs that the Red Rifle, the Ginger Ninja, whatever you want to call Andy Dalton, can't do. But I'm with
Todd
here. Water.
Mike calls him the Bayswater Pistol.
Bayswater Pistol, copyright Michael Palm.
Yeah, I'm with Todd here. I think the Cleveland Browns, this is a buy-low spot. I know they gave one away against Kansas City, and I think they might have been a little bit hung over with that. Now, they got ahead of the number when Taylor went out, but that's why I didn't lay it with Cleveland last week, because I thought, they gave that to Kansas City, and that's 2 years in a row that they've lost close games to them that were both winnable games, so they're a little hung over, and they didn't end up covering the spread. I think this is the cover time for Cleveland.
I don't hate it at all. I think the chasm between the haves and the have-nots is really going to be seen this week. My number two is the Los Angeles Chargers, speaking of the Superchargers. What am I getting, 6.5 here, Todd, on the Chargers?
On the Chargers, you are getting 6.5. Yeah, 6.5.
This has stayed 6.5 all week. I don't get it. The Chargers, there was not a person who watched that Chargers-Cowboys game last week who thought the Chargers weren't the better team. And Mike McCarthy gets bailed out by Greg Zuerlein on the 56-yarder, the Michigas of Mike McCarthy being blocked. The clock was blocked.
He got a $1 billion stadium. They couldn't have one
they
clock.
Got one
he couldn't
clock.
See one clock.
He's like, I was clock blocked.
Clock blocked.
I was clock blocked. And then he said, and Kellen Moore, something happened with him too. Like the ref got in his way or something. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Zuerlein bailed him out. But that was Justin Herbert, 31 of 41 for 338. How Mario Cristobal and Anthony Lynn couldn't do anything with him, I have no idea. But they're a good football team. They did have 12 penalties for 99 yards. They do have to clean that up. But that also affected the game in a way that it shouldn't on a given week. They had zero touchdowns on 3 second-half red zone possessions, one of which was that Micah Parsons bullshit sack, which was ruled in the grasp, which is like, give me a break. Like, give him a chance to score the touchdown. That was a second and goal at the Dallas 7 with 5:35 left. They have to settle for the field goal, which led to them the Greg Zuerlein game-winning kick. The Chargers have lost 8 games the last 3 seasons by 3 points or fewer. That's awful. But you know what it also means? They lose a lot of games by 3 points or fewer. And I think they can keep up on offense with the Chiefs. The Chiefs' defense can't stop anybody. You're giving me 6.5. I love Justin Herbert, man. I think as good as we think he is, you know, the question that we've been throwing around, if not Patrick Mahomes, who do you start an NFL team with today? I think it's Justin Herbert. I really do.
And the Chiefs don't cover any spreads, Gilly. Yeah, they're 2 in a billion
yeah.
in their last a billion games. It's ridiculous.
I believe that trend is correct. 2 in a billion.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. I'm interested to see what you do here. You clearly like the Chargers here in the points. Do you ever try to middle, like with the teaser? Like, there's a lot of opportunities to do that this week. Like, for instance, let's say you like the Lions at 8.5 or 9 as it was in the week, but then you can get Baltimore now down to 2.5 at the under 3 and under 7. Do you guys ever try to do that where you might take a big underdog but tease a small favorite and see if you can try to middle?
For me, the truth is I never end up doing it. I rarely end up doing it. I think about doing it a lot, but I rarely end up doing it in practice.
Never.
Yeah.
I never do it.
Yeah.
You know, I mostly bet in-game anyway, so I don't really mess around too much pregame.
The illegal motion on the touchdown, too. Oh. Total nonsense.
Yeah, how many times did you watch that to find out?
Over and over and over again. Where's the motion? They threw the flag after they already had the touchdown. Corrente was awful. They stopped the game over. That's what stopped both offenses, was Corrente and his crew with the 20 flags.
Those damn SEC refs.
Oh, they're bad. How about the punt in the Mississippi State game? Oh. He's blown the ball dead.
Oh,
they had to issue
that.
A statement on that too. The SEC
how about
office.
The Boise State game.
That was a job. Yes. They got job too.
Yeah. The Penn State third down punt. I was texting Felica. I'm like, hey, dude, you got to tell him like that was a punt on third down. He goes, we think so too.
And they went to the replay booth and they said, no, it's fourth down.
Yeah, and they came
there's
back
eight officials on the field thought it was fourth down. I'd pull my team off if I was James Franklin. I would pull them off the field until they got it right.
A little bit of a Bob Knight against the Russians in the exhibition game, if you remember that, when he pulled them off the field at Assembly Hall.
That's the Todd Wright theory. The Todd Wright theory is when, like, in that Rams-Saints-NFC playoff game, he was like, pull the team off the field until you get it right. We're not showing back up. I love that. Like, somebody's got to do that one day.
The play – two plays preceding the bad punt, the bad fourth down. How is that grounding? He's under no duress in a clean pocket.
That was
and the receiver
too.
Broke the rod out, and all of a sudden they're calling intentional grounding.
And there was something about that ref's confidence in all his picks that, that really bothered me. I was like, you really think you're doing this right, don't you?
Oh, my.
But let's just think about where they get the pool of referees for these ball games. I mean, it's not exactly – they're not exactly same going place, to you – know,
same place your we get the VEASAN hosts. And what are you saying here, Todd?
Hey-o. No, Todd didn't say nothing. It. Oh, now you're playing it straight, Todd.
No. Look, I must love all
Todd. Totally no sold that, didn't he?
I'm just saying, a lot of these referees are not exactly your Mensa members. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, that's fair. All right, pick number 3. Mikey's on the timeline. Mikey, you start.
Okay, I'm gonna go over Rams Bucks over 55.5.
So glad I
game
didn't
of the
I was gonna do it. No, 56, Mikey.
No. 56. Okay, I'll take it. 56. Look. Yeah, I mean, Frank Reich and the Colts' inability on goal to go really masked that score in that game. And look, the Cincinnati Bengals defense had a much easier time shutting down the Bears than the Rams did. Michael Lombardi is famous for saying the Washington defense is only good because we say they're good. They're no good. How about the Rams defense?
Yeah.
And the Bears defense. Who are the defense? There really isn't. But all these teams we thought were going to have great defenses really haven't. And I think Brady will have a heyday here. But I also think that the Rams are going to move the ball with Stafford. And they're going to throw the ball more. I don't see a lot of punts in this game. I bet the Cowboy game over with the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't punt in the first half. And now that game goes under, you know, through all that myriad of things. I think this is another game where you see 3 or less punts. So I'm willing to
Cooper
go over
Cup
the 50.
Cooper Kupp might get 5,000 catches in this game.
Yeah, and like 5,000 yards a yak. Because no one can tackle him apparently this year. All right, so over 56, Todd, checking you on the number. Wes, your third and final.
Oh, yeah, I'm down to a couple here, so I'm going to have to just go ahead and bite the bullet and take the ugliest one on the board. The J-E-T-S, Jets, plus 10.5.
Wow.
I did bet 11 earlier in the week. And I know this is going to be poo-pooed. And when I talk with my partner on the entries in the contest, he's going to be like, I can't take it. I don't think we can take it, Wes. I don't think we could use
that. That's not Jeff Parles.
That's Jeff Parles.
That's not, no, that's not Parles.
This is Parles going to do this. He's going to do this. He's going to go, Wes, we can't bet the Jets.
Wes, I don't think we can take it. I don't think we can do it, Wes. I just don't know.
We love Parlay.
I just don't know.
We're going to get Parlay on the Mega Pot later this year.
Well, and I don't know either, but I'm going to go ahead and roll with them at 10.5 because, look, everything is priced in now. We know Teddy B is Teddy Covers here. He's 38-14 as a starter, even better on the road, but Teddy Bridgewater has never been this big of a favorite before. Now you're laying double digits, and I go back to a segment that you did on your Primetime Action show, which you can catch on MSG Plus and also on VSiN.
Thank you, Wes.
I'm playing Will Hill saying VSiN.com/subscribe.
Yes.
But anyway, you made the point when you were talking about the Denver Broncos, because remember what they were preseason. They were about, 7.5 on the wins?
Yeah.
You might have seen some books go to 8 at juice to the under when Teddy Bridgewater was named starter over Drew Lock. And then all of a sudden, what do? They go beat the Giants. It reminds me of the
made no sense. The
Chris Rock HBO special. I forget the title, where it's like people want credit for stuff they're supposed to do. That they're just supposed to
You're supposed to take care of your kids.
I take care of my kids. What do you want, a cookie?
One of the great old routines ever.
A great bit.
Yeah.
And look, they beat the Giants on the road as small road favorites. I wasn't sure they were going to do that, but they did. And then all of a sudden, they get priced to 10.5 on the season win.
I couldn't understand.
And this is a team that I do think is going to be a wildcard team. I picked it in the VSiN and Pro Football Betting Guide, but now you're starting to see these huge numbers on Denver. I know Zach Wilson, though, threw 4 interceptions. I know they were bad and they've looked awful. They have offensive line issues. Mekhi Becton is out for the interim because he got hurt in week 1, but I just think this is such a big number. Denver's got Baltimore coming in next week, and that's a big game you could potentially have. They're already looking ahead like, okay, you could potentially have like a playoff meeting early in the playoffs with Baltimore and Denver, so they could be looking ahead. And I'm going to hold my nose here, and we're going like to the sulfur factory. We're holding our nose so much here, and I'm going to take plus 10.5 with the J-E-T-S Jets.
I like the thinking, though.
Amal Shaw loves this.
I think you're going to convince Parlay, too. I think you'll convince Jets fan Jeff Parlay that you can.
Because he might be not that bad.
He says that, Amal says the Jets can't be as bad as they played against the Patriots.
They're not that bad on defense. On defense, they're actually not bad at all.
Yeah.
On offense, they're horrendous.
So you want to go under 41.5? Is that your pick?
I was actually thinking about that, but I'm not going to do that game.
What's your last one, Dodd? Dodd, what's your last one?
My last pick is a different under that I'm sure Mikey likes as well, and that is your New Orleans Saints and your New England Patriots to go under 42 points. And I just think that Bill Belichick, you know, first of all, I watched the whole Patriots-Jets game as well. I don't think that the New England Patriots looked that good on offense. That was more the Jets played. Actually, the Jets played good on defense, to be perfectly honest with you. It was mostly just the interceptions, which was the situation. The Patriots' defense is good. They only gave up 17 points to Miami. They played very good on defense against the Jets. Granted, the Jets aren't great. And I'm not sold on this Jameis Winston story. I mean, I watched that game on the shortcuts. They could do nothing against Carolina. Absolutely nothing. So are you telling me now they're going to go up into Foxborough and Belichick's not going to cook up some nice dish of defensive stew against your boy Jameis there? And Mac Brown, I really think he thinks Mac Brown is the real deal possibly, but let's go slow. Let's have controlled passing. Let's just run the ball. Let's play this like a slow Belichick, cauldron type of game where he wins it, in the old days, like 21-14 or something like that. Slow the game down. Use our defensive football because we know our defense is the number one unit on our football team. I think this game's going under. And the other thing is New Orleans is good on defense. It's not like New Orleans got in trouble against Carolina. They played well on defense. They just couldn't do anything offensively. So I like New Orleans defense. I like New England's defense. I won under 42.
And my final play is akin to yours. I actually agree with everything you say. I took New England. Am I -3 or -2.5 yet? What am I?
Let's see.
There are there are 2.5s in the market, and I think there are several of them.
Todd, wish
but that. What would Wes? What would you call the
consensus?
How about 3 even?
Okay.
Minus 3 even.
Well,
that
all
doesn't
right
do us any good though, yeah, because we are not unit.
You know okay. Last year,
yeah.
Last
okay
year we gave him the extra juice. I think he should eat some juice this time.
Right,
actually,
eat,
we should make.
I'll eat some damn right juice. I'm on New England for all the reasons that you're. I just want to say I said juice, by the way, people. I agree with you, and I think Bill Belichick is just salivating over the Jameis Winston thing. Has your impression of Sean Payton from week one to week two gone any further downhill in the fact that, not that he's not a Hall of Fame coach, but in the end, maybe he can't solve the problem that is Maria, Jameis Winston. Winston 11 for 22 last week for 111 yards. The Saints had 5 first downs, their fewest as a franchise since 1997. They were 2 of 11 on third down versus Carolina. They were 0 for 2 on fourth down. They had 128 total yards of offense. 128. I'll do the math.
Against that's Carolina.
That's
it's
32
like
yards a quarter.
What, they have 6 first downs for the whole game?
Yeah, I wrote 5, but then yeah, I saw 6 later. Yeah, yeah.
Well, remember that Winston, when he had the 4 touchdown passes and like 95 yards?
5 for 148.
Yeah, and then
yeah
he threw that 50-some yarder
right
to Harris, and
that's
that
right
got him over. But that's the lowest yards ever for a 5 touchdown game.
You're right. It was 4 for 98, and then he had
yeah
50 of them more in one shot.
Yeah.
Well, their first 7 drives last week were 5 punts, 1 pick, and 1 turnover on downs. By the way, they were out time of possession as well, 38-28 to 21-32. They also throw in 11 penalties for 115 yards. The interesting thing, Kamara was 8 for 5 yards. The interesting thing is Sean Payton didn't pull out Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill only had 2 carries for 16 yards. Like, that was the weirdest part about it. It's like we used to get annoyed that he kept throwing Taysom Hill into games last year. And we're like, oh, just quit with the Taysom Hill stuff. Now when Winston is floundering, he's like, yeah, I'm not bailing him out with Taysom Hill.
Well, maybe he's committed to Winston. That's why he's not maybe doing that. He didn't have to worry about Breeze thinking he wasn't going to be the number one guy because he
true
was using.
Well, I'm going New England. New England's
none
my third
drives
pick.
Plus, none of the drives went anywhere, Gil. Yeah, every drive was like 3 and out before yeah he yeah could even breathe.
Yeah. New England minus 3 is my third pick. Okay. Let us move to our teaser leg of the week. Todd, you're first. What do you got?
Okay, I like my teaser a lot. I'm going to go with the Buff Bills. I think the Bills, by the way, I think the Bills are a team that I think has actually a better defense than people realize. Last year, it was a big high-scoring team. The defense wasn't that great. The offense was scoring like crazy. I like what I've seen out of Buffalo's defense. I mean, maybe Miami's offensive line is the problem, but they were all over whoever was playing quarterback for Miami. I think the Bills are going to at least be able to win the game against Taylor Heineke. So I will take the Bills down to what would be
one and a half.
Bills down to 1.5. And then I will take with them my Brownies down to 1 because I think the Browns, like I said before, I gave you a million reasons why I think the Browns, mostly they just blow massive holes in the offensive line.
Okay. I already said what mine are because I already have them in my betting account as well. Carolina with Arizona. I'll say Arizona.
Carolina minus 2.5 mm-hmm and Arizona minus 1.5, Gil?
Yep, that is mine. Thursday night coupled with Arizona against Jacksonville.
Mine's the same as Todd.
Oh, same as Todd.
Yep.
What was that again?
Buffalo and Cleveland.
All right, and Wes?
Okay, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh, I
now
like it.
Now up to 7.5.
I like it.
This team, I think, should be 2-0.
They should be. They're 2 plays away from being 2-0.
Will you bet them on the money line at all this week?
I may. Yeah. I was hoping, was hoping Seattle would hold on against Tennessee so they'd be a little bit of a fat and happy 2-0. Then I would have probably gotten 3 at home with Minnesota just as an outright and then taking them on the spread money line. But I am going to tease them up here to 7.5. There are some 2s out there, so you can get 8. Every little half point counts. But Minnesota, I thought they had a better balance last week. Kirk Cousins didn't have to throw it 49 times because remember that week 1, they had like 9 penalties on the offensive line in the first half against Cincinnati, and that got them behind. They had, I think, 4 holdings and 5 false starts. Last week, they were a little bit more balanced. They were able to run the ball. Kirk Cousins didn't have to throw it almost 50 times, and he got them down there, and it's just Joseph missed the kick. They should have beaten Arizona last week. You know, he makes 2 52-yarders and then misses 36.
I felt so bad for him. And 52-yarders the week before.
Yeah.
Did you hear Paul Allen's call on the radio for the Vikings?
No. He thought it was good.
Yeah, he said, kick is up. It's good! It's good. And then the color guy's like, no. He's like, oh, no, he missed it. So we do this segment on Odds On.
Odds On.
Wild or right. And I ask them all, is this line wild or is it right? So I said, Seahawks laying two on the road here at Minnesota. Is this wild or right? He goes, Mike, this line is right. Wait, no, it's wild. It's wild. Yes. I lost it. Yes.
That's great.
So I do have Minnesota, and I've teased them in a couple of different legs. I did tease them with the Rams also up through the 3 and the 7. That's not what I'm going to use here. We're going to go Carolina and Minnesota.
There you go.
Carolina -2, Minnesota +7.5.
Boy, if Carolina's teaser doesn't come through tonight, there's going to be a lot of teasers done all over.
Absolutely. So it's just reload.
Yep, just reload. People want
action on a standalone game. They're going to tease
them. They do. Absolutely.
The Vikings killed me because if you follow my Twitter at T Wishnet,
which I do,
you would know that I was 8-4 in game this week, giving you live in game picks, and I would have been 9-3 had the Minnesota Vikings kicker. I had Vikings -130 that I got early in the game. The kicker missed it, and that put me at 8-4 instead.
You had
of 9-3.
You had the over there also, right, Todd? In game.
Yeah, I won the over easily, but I was talking about the
easy.
By the way, and some of these college games, by the way, you should follow my Twitter if you like, because like SMU game was like the easiest over all time. Ole Miss over for team total. I mean, I don't even know which ones I put up, which ones I didn't, but you should definitely follow at T Wishnev if you like in-game betting.
Truly your college football Saturday feed is very entertaining. I don't have time for your Michigas on Sunday, but Saturday is wonderful. Yeah. Saturday
First
is
of all, my Michigas was 8-4, Gilly, so you should make some time, Mr. Svetlana and Visimova, Petrosyka, whatever.
Petrosyka.
And Wes is so right. Minnesota. The Dalvin Cook fumble, the Greg Joseph 37-yarder, two plays. They're 2-0 otherwise. So that's the thin line. Final two questions. Odds On's about to start. We got to go. What are you going to say, Todd? No, just go ahead.
I was just going to say I have that teaser in my five-team teaser leg. That Minnesota Vikings one, I like that one.
I do too. I have a five-teamer that pays +350. I threw all of these in the bunch.
I have a +400. DraftKings gives you 400.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
Not that cursed bookmaker. They don't give it to me.
Cursed.
All right.
They just show up with bags of cash.
Yeah, that's what they do, baby. All right, here it is. Big favorites, most likely to lose outright. Carolina, 8-point favorites on the road at Houston tonight. Cleveland, 7-point favorites at home against Chicago. Arizona, 7.5-point favorites on the road against Jacksonville. Should I throw in the Kansas City game, or is everybody going to pick
the
Chargers?
Well, we would all pick the – I would. Yeah.
Okay, so
anything
no.
7 or above,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, usually 6.5. In this case, we won't use that one. Buffalo, 7.5, or whatever they are now, hosting Washington. There goes my screen. And my computer just went out. What are the other ones, Todd?
Ravens, Lions.
Uh-huh, Ravens on the road against the Lions. That's the last one. And Denver, of course, hosting Jets.
Browns. Did you say Browns 7?
Yeah. Denver hosting the Jets is the other one.
Yes.
Okay.
I think the Texans are most likely to win. That's what I think.
Which is the one most likely to lose outright? Panthers. You say it's Carolina. Mikey?
I don't think any of them. But I'll go with, even though I played this in the teaser, I'll go with the football team because the seismologist made the argument on your show, and so I'll go with
him.
He did. He said they're live.
The seismologist.
He said they're live.
Drew Dinsick, last week's guest. Wes, most likely lose outright.
Well, since we are in the D here in fabulous downtown Las Vegas.
The Baltimore Ravens.
I'm going to say the Baltimore Ravens because I think that game was so big for them. Because remember on Monday Night Football in 2020, Kansas City just kind of backhanded them and really smacked them around and said, you're not on this level. Baltimore got down. They had to fight back. John Harbaugh, I think, had no choice. So it's like, we got to go for it on our own side. We give Mahomes the ball, we lose. We're basically giving him the game. So I think you go Baltimore to Detroit. At Detroit, I know they got beat 35-17 on Monday Night Football. Green Bay ended up easily covering. But that game really wasn't that much widespread, I think. I think Detroit, at least they fight in the trenches. And I think that's where maybe they can hang in this game. So I think Lions could put Ravens on upset alert.
The only thing that stopped the Lions offense in the whole first half was that phantom holding
ball.
Yes. Right. Other than that, they went and scored a touchdown every time.
I completely agree with you. That's my pick. It's the reason why I haven't considered Baltimore for 1 second in Survivor. That game smells bad to me.
So Wes better be wrong. Because I'm considering
I get plenty of things wrong on a daily basis, Todd, so don't be alarmed.
Final question. Bizarro World, you have to play every single side but one. One that you wouldn't even bet with your buddy's money. Mikey, what's the game that you want no part of?
Yeah, I don't know Vikings-Seahawks. I still don't know what the Seahawks are. I don't know if their defense is good or not. They weren't in the second half of that game, so I pass.
Okay. You got odds on to get to?
Yeah, I'd like to listen for a few minutes.
Wes, what do you
got? I'll be pithy and terse here. Green Bay, San Francisco for me. It almost was Indianapolis, Tennessee, because we, don't know if Carson Wentz is going to play. So it may be Brett Hundley. So then I would absolutely want nothing.
What happened to Ellinger? I thought Ellinger was terrific.
He got hurt in the preseason, so he's on injured reserve right now. So right now, Hundley and Jacob Eason have split reps with the number one. Actually, Hundley got more, so that tells you probably they don't really love Jacob Eason on the road in this situation. But for me, it's Green Bay, San Francisco, because I don't know. I don't know where Aaron Rodgers' head is at. I think, look, they got a win on Monday night, but they just made one play and it basically busted the game open. And then San Francisco, they were on the verge of going down to Philadelphia. Philadelphia basically played like 28 really good minutes of football in the first half.
Yeah.
They don't score when they have first and goal. Great. San Francisco gets a touchdown late. So, yeah, I'm still a little lukewarm on the 49ers, so it would be Packers 49ers for me to avoid.
I thought the worst beat of the weekend, if you had Eagles first half money
line. Absolutely.
How sick would you be?
We were covering that on the Green Zone, Dave Ross and I. It was like, wait a minute, because we go to Dieter Kurtenbach, who's like our stringer. Yeah. He works out as a columnist in the Bay Area. And he was like, well, the 49ers have played about 28 minutes of bad football here, and the Eagles have outplayed them, yet this is still 3-0, and then the 49ers are about to score.
That's when you knew the Niners were going to get them.
Yeah.
Todd has left the building, so I'll give mine, because I think it was, of all the things I did last week, my best answer was to this question when I said the Giants and Washington. I want no part of that, and that sort of played out that way. To me, this week it's the Giants and the Falcons, which may be non-sexy, but it's like I have no idea what we're getting in that game. Nothing. I don't even have to flesh it out. Like, how bad is each team, and how competent can each team be long enough to outlast that opponent? I don't want any part of it. Todd, what happened to you? Are you gone? You just walked out? Did he think the show was over? Did his mom have an incident?
Do we only pay him per hour?
There he comes. What happened?
I had to go run and do the nuts show real quick. I'm sorry.
What game do you want no part of?
I want no part of the Cincinnati Bengals against my Pittsburgh Steelers.
Here's why.
First of all, I think Big Ben is getting too much guff from our local people saying he's too old. It's not his fault. The offensive line cannot block. If you can't block and the wide receivers can't get separation, how are you going to have a big meal in the touchdown area? You can't get yourself a big dinner in the touchdown area if you can't block anybody and your receivers can't get any separation. So I don't know about them Steelers. I got a lot of injuries, and who knows what you're getting from this Bengal team. I don't want any part of this game. So I'm not going to drive down to the Rivers Casino and try to get a free parking spot. Forget about it. I'm going to watch the 8 screens, and that's it.
Forget Mark Madden. Todd Wishnev is the super genius of Pittsburgh. There you go, Todd.
Outstanding invitation. Thank you, guys. We got to run because Mikey's got to go do a show with Amal Shaw. It's called Odds On over at VSiN. Wes, thank you for doing this, man.
Thank you for having me.
We'll do it again.
Long-time listener, first-time participant.
Thank you. We'll do it again later this year. Mikey, for Mike Palm, for Todd Wishnev, Gil Alexander, thanks for listening. And thank you for making the first two Megapods smash download hits. Top 10 all-time, both of them, in VSiN's podcast episode history. So appreciate that. We'll ramp it up all year long. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening from all of us. Good luck this weekend from the Megapods.